back in my farming days, which was all the way from 10 years old until about 30 to 28, something like that. So about 18 years I had in farming with my dad, and then with my father-in-law, and then with Cheryl and I. We're farming together, and I've often admitted this. I like to do the animal work much more than I like to do the field work. Maybe that's odd. I don't know if that's normal for a farmer to rather be working with the animals than working with the field. But I knew that you had to do the field work, obviously, to have the animals, or you would have to have enough income, perhaps, to buy in your food. And maybe that's was an option, but never was an option in the farms that I was on. But one thing I really, when it did come field work, one thing I really enjoyed in the field work was mowing hay. I hate mowing the lawn. You know, I would like to have my lawn painted, you know, paved and painted green with wooden flowers in it. That's kind of where I would like my lawn to be. But I don't do a whole lot of mowing the lawn. Actually, the neighbor, when Cheryl was up a year ago with her mom, I'm rabbit trailing here a little bit, but I was mowing the lawn. And my neighbor came over to me. Literally, my neighbor thought Cheryl had left me. And they were wondering if they could help in some fashion. Cheryl had been up taking care of her mom for a couple weeks, and I was mowing the lawn. That was the key that they thought that Cheryl had left me, was that I was mowing the lawn. I hate to mow the lawn, but I love to mow hay. And as I mowed the hay, you could see the windrow form and getting ready to bale and to put in the barn. The mowing the hay, especially a good stand of alfalfa. If you had a good stand of alfalfa, one thing about that, it produced and it produced and it produced and it produced. And you could get it off early and it would produce again. Sometimes the grass hay didn't do as well on the reproduction stuff. But the alfalfa always reproduced well. Trefoil, we call it trefoil. It also reproduced well. But the alfalfa was the stand that you really wanted. The Bible, the Word of God, is an alfalfa field to me. The more you cut, the more it comes back. The more you cut, the more it comes back. You cut it and it comes back. You cut it and it comes back. And over and over and over, you can harvest out of the Word of God for a lifetime. It's a great stand of alfalfa. And it goes down deep, and you could cut it and harvest it. And you go back out there in your alfalfa field a day or two later, and all of a sudden the stubble now is green. And it starts to re-ready itself to be harvested again. I think though it's the Word of God. The Bible is just a great alfalfa stand. And you harvest it, you cut it, and you go back the next time, and it's green again. And it's readying itself for the next harvest in your life. And as we cut the field last week, we started in John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And we cut that field last week. We cut the first two or three verses of that field last week. And guess what? It's green again this week. It's ready for another harvest. And so we pick up in the same field. In the same field that we ended with last week. In the beginning was the Word. Capital W words, talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing has been made that was made has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. That's an alfalfa field. You can cut that field every single day. And now he spends the rest of the Gospel of John, those chapters and those 21 verses in the Gospel of John, he starts to support that 12-word statement at the end. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I know, we cut that field last week. I got it. It's green again this week. And it's in him was life. And that life was the light of men. So everything else that Jesus is and what he has accomplished, and all the creation and all the Old Testament stuff that we see where the angel of the Lord or Jesus was active, in addition to all that, he is the light of men. And now we're going to spend the rest of the Gospel of John to unpacking that or giving evidence of how Jesus is the life and how he gives that life is the light of men. And women and humanity. So here we lay it out. And last week we opened up and said, why do we need Jesus? And we looked at the seven miracles of Jesus. And I kind of threatened you that we're probably coming back to each one of these miracles because they're green again. And so here we go. Last week, we water into wine, this miraculous moment that Jesus was at this wedding. And they'd run out of wine, and Mary comes and talks to Jesus. And Jesus does this miraculous movement. And why do we need Jesus? And we answered this last week. Is because what Jesus serves up supersedes all else. Because what he serves up supersedes all else. I want to dive into that story and that account, that miraculous moment in Jesus' life and in the lives of his disciples a little more this week. So let's go to John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Here it is. It's on the screen. If you want to look it up on your phone, it's John chapter 2, verses 5. We'll start. His mother, Mary, said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And that's always good advice from a mom. All right, mom, it's a good advice. I don't know what to do. Do what Jesus tells you. That's just a great, I think, like, I'm going to make a mom shirt out of that. My mom says, do whatever Jesus tells me. That's what Jesus' mom told the disciples. I don't know what's going on here, but do whatever he tells you. Look at it. Do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind that they used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from about 20 to 30 gallons. So we have somewhere between the availability of 120 and 180 gallons of water or capacity in those jugs. And they were nearby, and the stone jars were this kind of ceremonial washing. And I think, why does Jesus use those? And maybe, perhaps we could unfold that in several different directions, but just let me make a simple statement. He used them because there was no chance of any leftover wine being in them, because they were for water only. They were for ceremonial cleansing, for washing hands and feet. There would have not been any chance that there would have been wine left over. Jesus was not going to give credit to anything else when he was going to do something. He was going to start with a blank slate. And I think that's why he used those jugs. So they take those jugs, and he says this. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim, and he told them, now draw out and take it to the master of the banquet. And I love the phrase, they did so. That's why I've entitled this message to today. They did so. We got this really unique story going on here that Jesus is at partying at a wedding, and wine has run out, and we have Mary coming to Jesus, and we have Jesus, and we have the servants, and we have the receivers. We have this with the whole team on the field here. We got Mary, the servant, is one who executes the commands of another, especially of the master. Push the button, please. Of the master, especially that of the master. Mary, Jesus, servants, receivers. That's who's in the story here. The servants are one who execute the commands of another, especially of the master. They are key components in this story, as well as all four pieces of this story. Without all four of these pieces, this story does not happen. Is anyone more important than the other one? I don't think for this story there is one piece more important to the accomplishment of this miraculous moment than the four pieces are equal in that. There has to be a Mary, there has to be a Jesus, there has to be a servant, and there has to be a receiver. Someone who comes to Jesus for something. That's the Mary. There's the top one. Here's the Mary. Someone comes to Jesus for something. Okay, are you with me? Someone addresses Jesus. I need something. Is crying out to Jesus. Someone in some fashion is crying out to you. Jesus creates the provision. Jesus rallies the servants. The servants deliver the goods to the receivers. That's beautiful stuff. Now can Jesus, he's going to change water to wine. He's going to do that. He's going to do that miraculously. Does he need people to scoop it out and take it to the receivers? I don't know if he needs it, but he does that. So I'm not going to stand here. Well, Jesus needs this or needs that or needs that. I have a feeling that Jesus is omni everything that you can put in front of that. But somehow he responds to the call that someone has a need, and he makes that provision. He creates that. Then he rallies the servants. And the servants get to be a part of the miraculous moment that Jesus is doing, and they're taking it into the lives of those who are going to receive it. That's a beautiful story. Could Jesus have done it without the servants? That's not even a question to me. That's not even a viable question for this passage of Scripture, because I don't know, because he didn't. And one thing is, I don't think Jesus ever did anything second rate. And so if he could do it without the servants, okay, you can make that argument, and you can have fun doing that. But Jesus did it the best way possible, and he needed the servants, or he incorporated the servants into what was. He responded to somebody's need. Somebody cried, somebody had a need. He did the miraculous moment. He handed it to the servants, and the servants took it to the receivers. The servants delivered the goods to the receivers. The servants delivered the goods. So then I go back to the Bible and I say, Jesus says to love my neighbor. You know what he's telling me there? You can push the button. You know what he's telling me there? I got a whole vat of love over here. Woo! Hey, Ed, can I rally you? Will you be a servant? I got this whole vat of love over here because God is the manufacturer of love. Can I rally you because your neighbor needs to be touched? Because your neighbor needs to be loved? I'm not asking you to manifest the love. I'm asking you to come to the stone jar. I'm asking you to scoop out the love. I'm asking you to take it over to your neighbor. I'm just asking you to be as a servant. Because your neighbor is in need of love. Your neighbor is in need of being loved. Will you be the servant that I can rally? Am I making sense today? You know what you say? Oh, my land, do I have to love my neighbor. You know what you're saying? It's too far to the stone jars. Oh, please. Jesus, I know you've made all this love, but why does it have to be me? There are dog poops in my lawn. Why does it have to be me? And I scoop it up and say, oh, my, oh, here, plop. There, that's done. Can I go do what I want now? The servants might have been, okay, we saw water going in. We're not sure what's going on. Scoop it out. And maybe a little hesitant going to the master. And they handed it to the master. And the master was blown away. Don't you want your neighbor to be blown away? And as I read stuff like Deuteronomy 15:11, delivering care to the poor. I've got this whole vat of care over here, whatever that looks like. In Isaiah, he said, I got this whole vat of food. I'm talking physical stuff. I'm talking a whole vat of food. Can you just come? Well, can I just rally you, servant? Can I just rally you to come to the well of Jesus and get the food that I've manufactured? It's good. It's good food. I'm not talking spiritual food right now. I'm talking groceries. I'm talking hamburgers and hot dogs. One thing that the church, I mean, oh, it's, we're very spiritual people. People are going to eat. And he said, come get the groceries. I got groceries. And we take the groceries over, and you get to give them to someone who is hungry. How about 1 John 3:17 says, deliver the physical goods to the needy. You get to do that. See, you don't get to be the Jesus in the story. But there's a Mary in the story, there's a servant in the story, and there's a receiver in the story. And when all those get together, there's a miracle in the story. Because God's going to do the miraculous. And he says, hey, Matthew 25, 35 says, deliver hospitality, or this kindness and warmth to the strangers. Come over to the stone jar and scoop up this hospitality, this kindness, and this warmth. You know, we're a pretty cold nation. I'm not talking weather-wise. We're pretty cold. And God says, I just want you to deliver hospitality to someone. Come over here and scoop it up and take it over and give it to them. Because why? Because someone's asking for a warmth. Someone is asking for some kindness. I hear someone asking for that, and I manufactured that over here. I manufactured the hot dogs and the hamburgers. I manufactured the physical goods. I manufactured the hospitality. I manufactured the healing. Can I trust you? There's a healing waiting to be happened. I heard somebody cry out for healing. I'm hearing somebody right now, Jesus says. I'm hearing somebody right now crying out for healing. Well, can I rally the servants? Will you come to the stone jar? And will you scoop out the healing that is waiting for that person who is crying out for that healing? Will you scoop out this healing and will you take it to the one who is asking for it, the one who is going to receive this healing? Well, Jesus can do it any way he wants. You're right. And he's asking us to do it, I think. Without the servants, the story didn't happen. Without the servants, there was no miracle realized in the lives of the receiver. Matthew 6 says, I want you to deliver some forgiveness. Well, I can't forgive that person. That's because you haven't been to the stone jar. Knock, knock, knock. That's wake up. Why don't we just say this? Well, I can't forgive that person. Why don't we just say this? I am not going to the stone jar to get forgiveness because I don't think they deserve it. Okay, that's up to you. But lots of times forgiveness has all this multifaceted thing. It's for you and for them and for the whole moment. And God's going to do something miraculous on the other end. Romans, several of them, I want to deliver a blessing to another. I want to deliver cheer. It says to rejoice with those who rejoice. Can you imagine saying, hey, I got somebody over here rejoicing. They need somebody to rejoice with them. They need to know that they're not alone and they're rejoicing. I'm going to move your spirit. Can I rally you, servant? Come to the stone jar. Get a whole bunch of cheer, a whole bunch of laughter, and take it over there and just share it with them. That's beautiful. I'm telling you what, that's beautiful stuff. And he says, you want to do that? That's awesome. And then he says, you know what? I also manufacture tears. So when there's someone who is mourning over there, I want you to take the tears that I have manufactured, that hurt heart, and I want you to just carry that tears to them, and I just want you to weep with them. I just want you to mourn with them. I just want you to be the servant. Don't worry about being the manufacturing company. I got you. And Micah 6:8 says, delivering justice and mercy. Yeah, Romans 12:18 says, delivering peace. And 1 Peter 4:10 says, delivering God's grace in its various forms. I love that passage. Talk about an alfalfa field. You can cut that thing like every minute. Look at Colossians 3:16 says, let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts. Why? And make you wise. Wise, use these words to teach and counsel others. Because I want you to come over here to this stone jar and I just want you to suck up my words. And I just want you to suck it up. Because why? Because there's someone over here that needs my word. And I want you to deliver it to them. In Matthew 28, of course, we know that. It says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Everything we need is in the stone jar. Everything we need is in the stone jar. I got to ask us, New Life, can Jesus rally us? Can he rally you to come to the stone jar and scoop out what he has done and complete the miraculous touch in someone else's life? He said, I've given, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you to do. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age. Don't worry. This community needs God's grace. This community needs new wine. Wine that supersedes all the rest. The undeserved wine. The wedding party did not deserve prime wine, but they got it. That has blown me away this week. That I don't know if they deserved the wine. Apparently they drank way too much to begin with. But yet, in his grace and his mercy, he manufactured new wine to show that he was Jesus, to show that his servants were real, to show that his servants would obey him, to show that his servants would come to the stone jar, no matter if they were a little confused or not. They would come to the stone jar and they would scoop it out and they would take it to wherever Jesus told them to take it to. How about us? This new wine, this faithfulness and this mercy and this justice and this grace and this love and this compassion and this patience and this gospel and this food and this clothing and this hospitality and this truth and this healing. Will you take it to wherever Jesus tells you to take it? How about some of you that have answered texts at 3 a.m. in the morning that someone's crying out to Jesus, and Jesus wakes you up with a text and says, right now you need to go to that stone jar and you need to get some stuff out of there. I know it's 3 a.m. in the morning, but you got a sister in trouble. And I need you to go answer that. Because she's crying out and because she needs something. And Jesus has got it ready for you, but he needs a servant that'll deliver it to her. Will you go? Will you go? Will you scoop it out of the stone jar? No, I'll do it in the morning. It doesn't need to be done in the morning. It needs to be done at 3 a.m. I got word that one of you got a political call, surprise, surprise, from someone on the complete opposite side of the political party. And I also got word that you spent over an hour with them on the phone, just breathing the love of Jesus into them. I'll tell you what, Jesus calls in some very unique ways at different times. And he calls and he says, I got somebody in need. Will you take it? Can I trust you to come to the stone jar? Can I trust you to scoop it out? What I've already done over here, can I trust you to scoop it out? Right now, can I just trust you to lay your political party on the side? And listen, I'm strong on one side and there are the other two. I got that. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a person across the country that needs the love of Jesus spread into their heart right now. They don't need an argument. They don't need to be cussed at. They don't need to be flipped off on the phone. They need Jesus. And Jesus says this in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know what? That's still true. Jesus is still, and I have written in my note, Jesus is still in the winery business. And not W-H-I-N-E. Jesus is still making new wine. Jesus says, I can make new wine. Because why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to be the winemaker. I am not a bartender, I am a winemaker. I'm not going to bury your issues in some foreign substance. I'm going to give you new wine. Wine that supersedes all other drinks that you ever have had. And I will make new wine every single day. I'm going to take the stone jars. That's what Jesus is saying. Every single day, I'm going to take the stone jars and I'm going to transform that into what you need, the new wine. And then I'm going to rally the servants. Servants! Woo! It's your turn! Come and scoop out what I've given and made and take it to the one so that they can receive. I'm still making new wine. And he's going to preach good news to the poor, the good news of Jesus Christ, not only to someone's ears, but to someone's heart. The Gospel of John says this: yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of the husband's will or human decision, but born of God. Jesus said, I'm still doing that today. Salvation is still in the jar. Can I trust your servants to come to the jar? When I motivate your heart, because someone is crying out, say, Jesus, if you're real, give me some evidence that you're real. There's testimony after testimony that, Jesus, if you're real, give me some evidence that you're real. And all of a sudden, someone who has been to the stone jar, who has been rallied by Jesus, knocks on their life somehow. And they are blown away. Because Jesus did a miracle. He was looking for a servant because he was going to change a receiver's life. He said, I'm here to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I got freedom for whatever imprisons people. And you know as well as I do, and some of us are incarcerated by all kinds of things in our life, by harsh words and harsh actions that have been done to us. We're incarcerated by them. And by social demands, and by a spousal betrayal, and by our own failures, and by the anxieties that are born and handed down through our families. And we're all bound up with that. And he says, I've come to set the prisoners free. And guess what? That's not over in Luke 4. That's here today, November 1, 2020. Can I get some servants just to go to the stone jar? Because I'm still manufacturing the miracle. And can I get you to take it in its various forms? And it might be the weirdest thing that God ever asked you to do. Take this over here. Why am I doing that? Can you just trust me? My dad used to yell at me and he clamped his teeth together. I think it's because he had false teeth and he didn't want to spit them out at me. Sorry, Dad, you're watching online. Sometimes I get the same thing from God. I think, what in the world will you just get going? What kind of nut are you? I did all the work. I got the freedom here. I got the gospel here. I'm just asking you to answer the phone. I'm just asking you to step across the line. I'm just asking you to go to those who are going to receive this. And I'm not talking a blank slate that go into all the world. I'm talking very individual stuff that Jesus says. Let me make that very clear. I know he says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I got that. I'm talking about that very individualized thing. Jesus said, take this and give it to the master of the banquet. One guy. Where does he want us to deliver it? Look what he's doing. I mean, I'm still manufacturing recovery of sight for the blind. That's what he says. See, I have preached this in the past, that Jesus handed this completely to me, and I don't think he has. I think I got it wrong. I think he's still clearly in the picture over here by the stone jars. Man, he's cooking it up. And then every once in a while, Ed! Woo! There's somebody that's crying out for me and they need something. What do they need, God? Hot dogs! Hot dogs! Trust me, it's just hot dogs. I've got a theology degree, God. Yeah, I know that's not that important right now. You need hot dogs. Okay, God, I'll take hot dogs. And I'm going to go over here and say, I'm not sure what this means. I'm not sure what this means, but I think God wants me to bring you some hot dogs. And all of a sudden the person's like, what? I can't believe this just happened. And he said, I'm going to bring a recovery of sight to the blind. I know, I got to get going. I have 6 pages of notes and I'm on page 4. Hang with me. You can have the rest of the afternoon off. You get the rest of the afternoon off. Other than the Bills are playing the Patriots. He said, I'm still manufacturing healing. I'm still manufacturing recovery of sight for the blind. I think that's both physical and spiritual. I think Jesus takes this new wine of healing. He said, take this new wine of healing. And I do think it's physical healing. And the more I grow and the more I grow, the more I am becoming more and more certain that he's going to scoop up, you and I, some of us are going to be able to scoop up the healing that he calls us to scoop up. And we're going to carry that healing to someone over here, and that person is going to receive a miraculous healing because the servants were rallied. I don't know where your theology is on that, but let Jesus screw it up, not me. Because he'll do that real effectively. I think I got it figured out. He said, I'm still producing the sight for the blind. Take this word of insight. Take this word of love. Take this plate of brownies. Take this hot dog. Take this over to this neighbor because they need to know that somebody loves them and I love them so much. I just want a servant to let them know that I love them. And he goes on in that passage in Luke 4, he says, to release the oppressed. It means those who are pressed down by great tragedy. The waves are too great. The mud is too deep. Those whose hearts are pressed down by sin. I have sinned too much. I have done too much wrong. That is a lie from the pit of hell because Jesus is still producing the release of the oppressed. The mud is not too deep. Your sin is not too huge. Take a cup of this new wine. Right now it looks like a hug, but you need it. Right now it looks like a handshake, but you just need it. Right now it just looks like somebody looking right into your eyes and just letting them know that you're with them. And that's come out of the stone jar of Jesus. And Jesus says, just take over. Just make eye contact with them. Let them know that you stand with them. And that means I stand with them. And he says this, he ends that and says, I get to say, this is the year of the Lord's favor. Now is the time, today. You know what that means? The winery is still cooking. The winery is still making wine. New wine. You know, one of the greatest tragedies that our country is going to face is that 2020 is going to go down of the year of COVID-19 rather than the year of the Lord's favor. Shame on us. Jesus says, I'm not over here cooking up COVID-19. There's no COVID-19 in my pot. Just favor. Just favor. And so I had confessed that to God just a few days ago. I said, no longer will this be the year of COVID-19. This will be the year of the Lord's favor. Because that's what you're cooking up, Jesus. You're cooking up the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, all in the same stone jar. Woo. Can I get some servants, Jesus says. Can I got a Mary? I got somebody crying out for it. I got a receivers. I got a whole world that needs it. Can I just get some servants to come to the stone jar? Will we serve up the new wine? This community needs new wine. Estrella, where are you? Raise your hand high. Estrella is a part of the Monday night group. We're taking repair requests on Monday night. You can sit down now, honey. Thank you. And I said that we're going around and we're praying, and I think God wants us to pray. We're praying for people that are ill, people that are lost, people that are in their jobs, all kinds of things. Then the astrologist raises her hand. She said, I have one. And she says this, I wrote it down because I'll never forget it. I want to pray for the people who need help and can't get it. You know where that help is? In the stone jar. It's not Jesus is lacking anything other than maybe some servants. God has not pushed the button, please. There's the quote. I wrote that down in my thinking book. God has not stopped loving. Jesus has not stopped producing new wine. Have the servants stopped serving the new wine? That's what's written on my blotter on my desk. I was taken back by this song a few weeks ago. Come, come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Come drink of the water, come and thirst no more. You know what? You know what the problem with that is? The thirstier are waiting for the servants to bring them the cup. Does that make sense? And so it goes on to say this. Well, come, all you sinners. Come find mercy. I love this song. And in the same breath, it just drives me crazy. And I listened to it over and over and over. And I just wept as I... Not, because I don't know if the sinner knows where the cross is. I don't know if the sinner knows where the stone jar is. I don't know if the sinner knows that Jesus is still manufacturing all that. And I'm saying, sinner, leave the servant out of it. Just come to the stone jar. Well, then I can do whatever I want over here. Jesus, tell the sinner to come to your stone jar. I can't even get my servants to come to the stone jar. Come, all you sinners, and find his mercy. Come to the table. Where is it, for crying out loud? Where is the table? He will satisfy. Taste of his goodness. And find what you're looking for. For crying, you've got to be kidding me. Look at this. Bring all your failures and bring your addictions. There's a whole host of those caught in the addiction that don't know where the stone jar is. When are we going to take it to them? Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. I'll tell you what he's waiting for. Servants! To come to the stone jar. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. Can you see his open arms? Here we go. I'm so tormented by this song. I love this song so much, and the truth that's in it so much, and I get so crazy over it because I think it leaves the church out of it. For God so loved the world, here's the chorus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. I'm talking stone jar stuff there. And maybe it's because there's a package of hot dogs. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I am walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. know what this is? It's a brownie kit. Everything you need to make brownies. I'm asking somebody to take it and share the love of Jesus with somebody's neighbor. No eating at this at your house. You got the agreement with me? This means you make it with Pap and Graham, and you take it to your neighbor, and you show them the love of Jesus. All right, I'm trusting you with it. That's the stone jar stuff. I know you guys get me, because I hear you talk about it later. And I know you're never too little to come to the stone jar. So I'm glad that your hands were up first. There's no age requirement from Jesus. You know what this is? It's a $50 Walmart. I'm asking for somebody just to take this and put together something. Buy some hot dogs. You got to share the love of Jesus. It's out of the stone jar. I pulled it out of there this week. Who will take this? You know what this is? It's a $20 gas coupon from Sheetz. Believe me, this is over $250 sermon illustration. Jesus already paid for it all. You just get to go do it. Somebody want to make sure somebody has gas to go to work this week? You got to do it. It's not in your vehicle. Just so you know, I'm watching the video when I get done. And I'm going to ask you later on. I want to know what God did, because I'm expecting miraculous things. Because I don't think Jesus pulls stuff out of the stone jar for naught. You know what else I got up here? Hang on. You know what else I got up here? I got another brownie kit. Who wants to go to the stone jar and get some brownies? I even got you stuff to deliver them in, for crying out loud. Jesus pays it all. Know what this is? It's a package of note cards with handwritten notes, because someone needs to know that you love them and you think about them. I got stamps in here too. Jesus pays it all, I'm telling you. You know what? What is exciting to me is almost every time I hold up something, almost every child's hand in this room is up. And the adults are saying, well, I don't know. Maybe I should just be prim and proper. It's not time to be prim and proper, for crying out loud. Well, I want to give somebody else a chance. Jesus has a stone jar. It's pretty big. We'll take hesitant hands. You know what else I got? I got just two big jars of candy kisses, because someone needs to know that someone loves them. I just need you to give this to someone that says, no eating these. And just so you know, if you could see this, I'm going to show the video later on. Almost every child in this room has their hand up. And your adults are two adults. You're too much adults. You're just too much. You're too much adults. You're driving me crazy. There you go, Ed. Two Eds are better than one, right? You're going with Graham, okay? All right. You know what else I got up here? I got another pack of note cards, handwritten. See, now we're getting better. I wish I had like 45 more other items up here. You know what else I got out here? Just a basket full of crosses. Who will we take the cross to? So they can lay down their stuff They don't know where the cross is. Just put it in your pocket. Put it in your pocketbook. Just know. Somebody needs to know where the cross is, and you're going to carry it with you. You're going to carry it with you. Sweetie, you have asked for everything. Thank you for being a servant that's ready to go. I'm going to come to the cross. People don't know where the cross is. How in the world are they ever going to know unless we take it to them? Dolan, I'll give you one, buddy. You're in tune there. And you too, young man. Take one. Give one to your dad. If they're going to bring their failures and bring their addictions, they got to know where the cross is. I'm about done. Hang with me. Estrella, you started this whole thing, so. God, I know where Judy's going to take that cross. And God, I'm asking for the miraculous moment to happen when she just takes that love of Jesus and however it manifests itself into the life of her loved one. And I pray in Jesus' name there would be a miracle above all miracles. And that she would know, that she would know that you're working through her because she's been to the stone jar. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give the rest of these out, but let me. Servants of the Most High God. Will you come to the stone jar and deliver the goods to a world that so desperately needs it? It might be just a jar of candy kisses. It might be a handwritten note. It might just be a package of hot dogs. If I have a hot dog story tomorrow, next week, I'm going to tell it to you. Let me pray today. Stand with me. God, thank you for these moments together. Thank you that the stone jar is still in operation. Thank you that there's gallons upon gallons upon gallons upon gallons upon gallons of new wine. And Father, I pray that in Jesus' name you would find servants that you could rally. And that we would be able to see those that you want us to go to, and one by one by one by one. And we would just deliver your love, and it may look like brownies. Deliver your love, and it may look like a handwritten note to someone. But Father, I pray that you would find a group of people that will take the cross to a world that needs Jesus, rather than expecting the world to come to the stone jar that they have no idea where it's at. The master of the banquet and the people of the wedding did not know where those jars were. Only the servants. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you find us ready to be rallied by you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.